Hi, this is Tim Cole, and I'm reading from my book, Digital Enlightenment, that I wrote together with Ossi Urks. This chapter is entitled, Digital Bedouin Seeks Digital Oasis. There's no avoiding the fact that digital networks will change the way we work. The question that remains, however, is this: how will we cope? After all, we can't all hope to profit equally. There are always winners and losers. The Industrial Revolution, says the British economist Dr. Lee Shaw Taylor of Cambridge, was the direct result of the enclosure movement in 18th and 19th century England. Villagers lost their traditional rights, such as mowing meadows for hay or grazing livestock on common land formerly held in the open field system, and were forced to move to towns and cities where the increased labor supply contributed to the rapid growth of factories. At the same time, the growing town populations increased demand for manufactured goods, a cycle that was perceived by its victims as vicious, even if, economically speaking, the benefits for society as a whole were obvious. At least it gave Great Britain a head start in industrializing that lasted until long into the 20th century. Like enclosure, digitalization and networking are disruptive technologies that threaten to uproot many of us working in those professions most affected and therefore capable of triggering existential fears. Digital acceleration contributes to this disturbance, as did the World Wide Web, which was arguably the most disruptive invention in history, both for the individual and for society. Individual mobility takes this even further. As we move around with our smartphones and our iPads at the ready, always on and always reachable, we discover a strange paradox. Why travel when we could just as well stay at home and write emails? If video phones are capable of transmitting pictures so crystal clear that we can see every tiny whisker the guy on the other end missed while shaving this morning, then the number of business trips taken worldwide ought to be in decline, shouldn't they? Of course, we all know the number of people traveling by air is in fact growing at unprecedented rates. In 2013, IATA, the International Airline Association, released its growth forecast, which said that passenger flights are set to increase by an average of 5.4% annually. People, it seems, are more on the move than ever, and they take their work with them. Every morning, the lounges at large airports all over the world look completely alike. Yawning businessmen sitting at tables, coffee cup in hand, staring at the screens of their laptop computers or tablet PCs, checking email on their iPhones, or talking excitedly with colleagues who may be sitting just down the street or half a world away, with whom they may very well be meeting in a few hours to discuss the latest deal or project. These are always the same people, and they form a kind of social subset. What to call them? Teleworker was once popular, but today it conjures up an image of people wearing clumsy headsets and crammed into cubicles at some call center. And home worker doesn't fit either, since these people work wherever they happen to be, in the airport, at Starbucks, or even on a park bench. In America, the term road warrior used to be popular, but it doesn't really describe what's going on very well. After all, most of these warriors aren't all that ferocious. Nick Negroponte, the legendary head of MIT Media Lab in Boston, once coined the phrase digital nomad, which he used to describe someone who carries around everything he or she needs to be productive. Unfortunately, that usually includes a load of gadgets, adapters, sticks, drives, and chargers, as well as files and books that often fill more than one briefcase, or even a small suitcase. Possibly the best label devised for these workers appeared in an article published by The Economist in 2008 under the headline, The Digital Bedouins. Unlike former teleworkers who resemble astronauts, people who carry their own oxygen around with them, these people follow a kind of tribal lifestyle that enables them to travel extremely light, essentially only equipped with a burnous, a camel, and a small bottle of water. and they don't need anything else to survive since they know exactly where they will find the nearest oasis. The digital Bedouin's situation is similar. All he needs is a smartphone or tablet. His oasis could be the nearest Starbucks, where he can find all he needs for survival in a digital world, an internet hotspot. The coffee is just a perk, or an irritant, depending on taste. We personally usually choose to purchase a latte just to show our appreciation. After all, you can't sit around for hours pulling mail and not buy something, can you? Our blogger friend and columnist for the news magazine Der Spiegel, Sascha Lobo, described in his book, They Call It Work, the unconventional lifestyle cultivated by young people in Berlin, one of the most wired cities in Europe. He called them digital bohème. These people, he says, sit around all day in coffee houses, just like their ancestors in Paris or Milan, but instead of books and writing pads, they bring their laptops with them. But nothing else, since that's all they need to communicate, socialize, and earn a living. Between fits of creativity or exertion, they read newspapers, chat with friends, or head for the door, calling back over their shoulders, "Gotta go do some work, my landlord wants some rent." This new form of liberty changes many things, not the least the people themselves. It seems almost like a new species has been born, Homo mobilis, the mobile human. Mobility not only alters our behavior, it changes our self-awareness. By heaving off the shackles of time and location, we can become different beings than our more stationary, or should we say, sedentary, counterparts. And while stationary workers produce more and more paper, techno-Bedouins don't print things out. They store them in the cloud, where they're instantly available or shareable at all times. At the same time, digital Bedouins are less aware of the technology they use because it isn't that important. Hey, it's just there. It works. Anybody can operate an iPhone without reading a manual first. And in that way, the final obstacle is removed on our way to true, total mobility. Of course, digital Bedouins don't have time clocks. The working day has 24 hours, and anyone who is self-employed has a tyrant for a boss, says our friend Paul Sappho from the Institute for the Future in Palo Alto. This can cause problems at home. No BlackBerry in bed, and can lead to overload if mobile man doesn't remember to switch off once in a while. Pity the so-called crackberries, people gripped by a terrible compulsion to constantly check their BlackBerries. These are the real victims of the digital age, and they need our help. Thankfully, most members of Homo mobilis are learning the important lesson that more information doesn't necessarily lead to more intelligent decisions. The techno-Bedouin realizes that the ability to filter information and to only store things he really needs in his biological memory is the most important thing. Everything else can be found online.